Hello and welcome to the Autism Mums podcast.
I'm Victoria.
And I'm Natalie.
We're two sisters raising autistic children who know the joy, the challenges and the everyday moments.
This is a supportive space for honest conversations, practical tips, shared strength and expert advice.
Whether you're celebrating a win, surviving a meltdown or just trying to make it through the day, we're right here with you.
Join us as we share the ups, the downs, and everything in between parenting autistic children.
Hello, I'm Victoria, and today we're talking about something that can be especially tough for many families, the school holidays. When you hear the word holiday, most people think of relaxing, unwinding, and quality family time. But if you're raising an autistic child, the reality can look very different. It does for Natalie. So in this episode, we're sharing honest stories from our own lives. We're talking about what's worked, what hasn't, and sharing a few simple strategies that we've found helpful that we hope might help you to make summer a little more manageable.
This is a time of year that we really struggle with because our son really loves his routine. So now he's in a school he enjoys. He likes to go there every day and he'd quite happily go there every day of the week. Thank you very much. All year round, which I'm sure his teachers would absolutely love. So we notice as school holidays are approaching, perhaps 2 weeks before each holiday, he starts to get more stressed. We see more stimming, more dysregulated behaviours. His diet's affected, doesn't eat as much, those kind of things. So when it actually gets to holidays, he just does not like being out of his routine.
I've heard other parents say the same struggle, but for my son, he's counting down to the holidays and he loves that all the pressure is taken off. And so it's really interesting always for me to hear, I'm sorry for you that it's challenging.
Yeah, and I think it's a bit of a mindset thing because you hear holiday and you think, oh, time to relax and oh, it'd be so nice if it was like that. And I know that it is like that for some families and that's brilliant. But for us, it actually means more work, more planning needs to be involved. He's very physical. So it's not only the mental planning that needs to go into it, it's the physical as well. I need to be on it. I need to be doing things with him, because he needs that physical stimulation.
I remember when he was quite little and you were trying to find suitable clubs and you had a bad experience with a holiday club. That was quite early on. That was when you were starting to realise that there were some issues here. Things were not all okay.
That club was, I'd put him in for 3 full days a week, I think. It was 2 or 3. So that I could work. At that point, I was working at a university. So I put him into this club and it was a disaster. He just could not cope. He tried to run away several times. He was kicking out. He just did not want to be there, did not want to join in and wasn't coping. And at the time, I didn't know what was going on because I had inklings that he was struggling with things, but I didn't really know why. And we ended up taking him out of there and I had to reduce my work hours, which was very stressful because I just couldn't do my job properly. And it was then, that was before he started school. So it was then that I contacted the Senko at the school to alert them to this experience so that they were a bit prepared for when he started school.
The following year, when you started looking for clubs or how you were going to cover the summer holidays, you knew that clubs like that wouldn't be a good fit for your son.
Exactly. We knew that he needed a lot more support. He finds following instructions very difficult. And also he doesn't really like following instructions. So if a game is a certain way, he will look at it and think, let's play it a different way and design his own. So he's very clever in that way. But he needs a lot of support for following instructions and also managing his emotions too.
When you're looking at clubs, what are the kind of clubs that he would like to do?
He enjoys water sports, climbing, that kind of thing. Very physical things, but he would need somebody with him.
Was his age a factor in finding clubs that had the right support?
Yeah, I found that under 8 particularly, a lot of clubs just wouldn't take under 8s. I don't know why that is. I wonder if it's to do with personal care or...
Could be.
I don't know, level of maturity generally.
So what did you do in that time where you couldn't find clubs that would take him because he wasn't old enough if they did have the right support, and you couldn't put him into clubs for neurotypical children because he wouldn't cope or they wouldn't go well. So what were you left with when you were trying to juggle working and your other child?
It's basically down to us. So what we actually did was get a nanny for our younger child because that was easier to find care for her. It's an expensive option, but I didn't want to put her in a childminder when she was so little. So we got a nanny in that could look after her sometimes in the home and sometimes take her out so that I could fully focus on my son. And we still have the nanny now. Not as many hours, but we do. And we're lucky enough to, we do get funding for our son now to have a PA, but that's only for 4 hours a week during holidays. So when it comes to me working, it doesn't leave much room with the childcare that's involved to me and my husband take a lot of time off.
I think that's true of a lot of families who have the same difficulties as you do. It's very hard for you weeks to juggle.
Yeah, and I find that I want to work because that is my time off. And then I feel guilty saying that because, of course, I like to spend time with my children. But at the same time, that is my respite as well. And I do need that time to just be me.
That makes sense. Since he's turned 8, have you found that now you have more options for this summer?
Not a whole load more. It's not just finding activities, it's finding things that he would be willing to go to and be willing to try. And that can be tricky in itself.
At the beginning, you talked a little bit about needing to plan and how your son likes the structure of school. So, how do you approach this in the holidays to ensure that he has structure? I'm assuming you can't just say, today, I think we'll go to the beach.
No, we can't do that. We use visual timetables. And I organise play dates with children that I know he will play well with. They all involve me, though, so it's not like I can drop him off at a friend's house and leave him. I have to be there, which means I then need care for the younger one because where they've got the age gap, it's not compatible. So play dates, family trips, and yeah, the visual timetables, timers.
They're good tips. What would you suggest you do if you've got a family and you have both neurodivergent children and neurotypical children in it? How do you cater for both?
That is a very good question, and I'm not sure I can answer it myself. It's something we're working through.
I actually think even if you have neurodivergent children, their needs might be very different. As we've just talked about, holidays don't bring the same problem to me as they do for you. So you could have one of mine and one of yours within the same family. So I'm imagining that would require different skills. Like you, a timetable is really important, but my son's just turned 11. So what we make use of now is the calendar that he has in his room. He's okay with it being written, but he needs to see what the plan is and ideally the timings. That's the bit I struggle with. But if he can see the shape of the week, like you, it's very difficult to just be spontaneous and say, today we're going to do this. For his anxiety levels, it needs to be structured and it needs to be planned. I used to get it so wrong for what my son needed. I used to think I was being great, I was taking them out, I was planning all these things, and actually I was overloading him particularly. I think now I was probably overloading my daughter as well. They both benefit from that downtime. So I realised that whilst we do activities, they need to recover from that as it takes quite a lot out of them.
Yeah, that's true. And I do, we timetable in time apart from the two siblings so that they both get time to themselves. They both get time just with mum or just with dad as well, which can help.
That's a good idea. That's a good idea. We definitely have to do some separate things as well because my daughter can cope with going to town, for example, whereas my son would find a trip like that quite hard. So, yeah, it's looking at what works for which child and then who's around and how you can split up your time.
And I also think is if you plan days out, you've got to be able to adapt those plans because you can plan to go out for a day altogether and you can be just about to get in the car and then one of them decides, no, can't do that today. So it's about having a plan B there that can help as well.
Yeah, that's a good point. That is a good point. I think we probably don't do a lot of that. We tend to plan lots of little things, nearby things, because it's without thinking about it, really, isn't it? It comes over the years of knowing what works and what doesn't work. And we've had disastrous trips to Legoland, and places like that just don't work for my
Yeah.
son. So we keep it a lot more low key in the summer holidays. Luckily, we live in a holiday destination.
Yeah.
At this point, I know the kind of activities that are going to work, like the beach, like the woods, nature, not too
Definitely.
busy. I was thinking about friends the other day who go to so many of the local events that take place and air shows, and I automatically filter them out. I don't even consider going.
I know. Yeah. And actually, I struggle with those myself. So there you go.
Okay.
Yeah. So then to have to support the children when I'm struggling myself is even worse.
What would you say about community support? How useful is that?
So I would say reach out to parents in similar situations because that's one thing that really helps me is other parents. And arranging play dates with those kids because they get it. And if you're going to be late, they'll understand. And you can vent to each other. Got some
Yes,
good
it's nice to
mum
be around people
friends.
who understand. How do you look after yourself over the summer?
Not very well. Because I find once I've got the activities planned for the children and work sorted out, I'll just get left to the bottom of the pile, which is wrong. I need to get better at that. It's my evenings. I just try to just do a bit of meditation, just something very simple, or chatting with a friend. But I don't arrange social stuff for myself because it's too much on top of everything else.
Yeah, I think it depends as well if you find social things uplifting or if they drain you as well.
Yes, that is a very good point. I can find social things tricky
Yeah.
anyway, so I have to manage my own stress.
And that makes sense that you have to do what works for you. All right. So, how can parents go about building a network of support through the summer holidays?
I think support groups are a great way to meet people.
There are some good ones near us. There's Escape in Bridport. If you join local Send Facebook groups, you might see activities there or meetups.
I think like
Yeah.
family days, don't they, where the
Yeah.
parents go along, but then you can just chat to other parents and
Yeah, so it's a dual purpose. So it can give you somewhere that you can take the children. And also, that's how you can start building a network and finding people who understand your situation.
I wish there were more of them, to be honest.
It's definitely something that's really needed.
In an ideal world, I wish the school ran summer activities, even if it was like really reduced, maybe just every morning or something like that. That would be something to give a little bit of respite, but also provide that routine for the children.
My son's school does run something attached as a riding stables, but it's also quite expensive. And as I say, it's not something that we need to look at. Again, it's budgeting it all as well, isn't it?
Yeah, I remember one year I booked quite a lot of send activities for my son, and I drove all around the county. Obviously, when I booked them, I didn't really research where we were going, and I ended up on all these long drives down farm tracks. And by the time we actually got there, me and my son were both exhausted. But yeah, so I've learned from that experience to look at where these places are before you book.
I think I remember that because it was quite good, wasn't it? Quite a lot of sporting activities and things that he liked. It was just not always anywhere near where we live.
Yes, exactly. I didn't realise quite the area that was covered. I thought it was more local, but yes,
So
now I know better.
you go into September exhausted, and then for me, that's more where our struggles would begin. with having to go back to school, which I think is worth another episode.
Yeah, I think so. It's like we flip, don't we? With where we
Yes.
are. Your
Yes.
stress levels are probably going nicely down at the moment. Mine are
Yeah.
rising.
Absolutely. Can you sum up the key takeaways from today's episode?
First one is to breathe, plan, and also try and enjoy it. Try and pick some things you know the kids will love, because there are things the kids will love. Get out in nature. That's always a good one for us.
Do you know another
And keep
thing?
breathing.
Sorry, I would add to that key takeaway is accepting that their enjoyment might look different than what you expect. It's knowing that sometimes it looks different when your neurodivergent child is enjoying something. They might enjoy a more quieter time, like mine's.
Oh yeah, I mean I can give mine a box sometimes and they'll be happy just making it into a car or something, and that can keep them, you know, it doesn't have to be fancy days out,
Yeah.
you know, keep it simple.
Thanks for joining us today on the Autism Mums podcast.
We hope you have found a little support, a little solidarity, and a reminder that you are not in this alone.
If you enjoyed the episode, we'd love it if you'd follow the show and share it with another parent or carer who might need to hear it.
And if you've got a story or a moment you'd like to share, we'd love to hear from you at www.theautismmums.com.
Until next time, take care.